It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Figures show there is a widening achievement gap among public school students in Pennsylvania. For example, between low-income and non-low-income students in math, the gap is 32 percentage points. Between low-income and non-low-income students in the state in reading, the gap is 30 percentage points. Addressing the problem of the achievement gap has become a priority for educators as well as civic and community leaders who believe a deep digital divide between the haves and have-nots is largely behind it. As part of WESA's Life of Learning initiative, we're spending the first part of our program today looking at a program Comcast is relaunching called Internet Essentials, a comprehensive broadband adoption initiative for low-income families. Joining us by phone is Pittsburgh Public Schools Superintendent Linda Lane. Dr. Lane, thank you for joining us.
Oh, happy to get a chance to visit with you this afternoon.
And with us in studio is David Cohen, Executive Vice President for Comcast. David Cohen, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, great to be here. And Dr. Lane, good to talk to you again for the second time today.
Exactly. Yeah, great to talk with you.
Well, Linda Lane, let's begin by having you talk about the achievement gap. I cited some figures, but what are some of the specific concerns that you have?
Well, the achievement gap in our district particularly, and you mentioned that it can be linked to income issues, and it certainly can. But we also have an income gap, or I'm sorry, an achievement gap that is linked to race, and I don't think we can ignore that as well. But we believe that it is very important. There are a lot of factors to help close the gap, and it's complicated work and it's hard work. But I think that districts like ours around the country are committed to doing everything we can to help close that gap, because it means a lot, not only for the children and their families, but also for the community as a whole.
And Dr. Lane, can you explain for people not familiar with the idea or the term digital divide, what exactly that is and what it specifically refers to?
Well, what it refers to is many of our children have access to both devices and connectivity outside of school. So parents may have iPads, they may have smartphones that have connectivity, they may have desktop computers that are hooked to the internet or laptops. But then we also have children who may have little of that or none at all, so that their access to the internet is only at school or potentially, you know, being able to use public library, which works too. But if you're working on a paper late on a Saturday night, there's nothing like having connectivity at home.
So you're saying that this lack of access, this lack of connectivity, it places students at a disadvantage.
It absolutely does. Now, the research, especially with our upper grade students, research that children are doing is so much more internet-based than it ever has been. And I know that even for those of us in the workplace, that's where we do our research. So that the failure to have kids not be able to access resources at home can, you know, as I said, it can impair them getting homework done and other things, which can contribute to achievement problems.
David Cohen, explain what Comcast's Internet Essentials program does and what it provides.
Okay, so the Comcast Internet Essentials program provides three things for eligible families. And the eligible families are families who have a child living in the household who's eligible for a free or reduced lunch under the National School Lunch Program. If you fit into that demographic and you live in a Comcast territory and you don't already subscribe to Comcast high-speed data service, we provide three things for you. First of all, low-cost connection to the internet, $9.95 a month, for a 5-meg down service. That is a heavily, heavily, heavily discounted service. There's no charge for the modem. There is no installation charge. There's no contract. And you don't have to have any other Comcast service to qualify for that price, which is an everyday price. It's not a promotional price. Second, we give you the option, it's not required, to purchase a fully internet-capable computer, laptop, desktop, or netbook for under $150, which is a heavily subsidized price by Comcast. And then third, and maybe most important, is we provide access to a full suite of digital literacy training materials. Some of those materials are in print, some are online on our InternetEssentials.com website, and some of them are in-person community seminars on digital literacy hosted by our nonprofit partners. So just by way of example, here in Pittsburgh, the Urban League is our lead nonprofit training partner in this community. And so if you're interested in digital literacy training, we'll provide you with a schedule of the digital literacy training sessions that the Urban League is hosting, and your whole family, parents, siblings, as well as young people in school, have the opportunity to gain the benefits of digital literacy.
Have you been able to track over the 2-3 years or so that you've been doing this, how much this has narrowed the digital divide?
So the answer is yes, a little bit. So I'll give you the national figures, which is that we've signed up about 220,000 families, about 900,000 low-income individuals, which is about 10% of the eligible population, just shy of 10% of the eligible population, most of those people being hooked up to the internet at home for the very first time in their lives. In Pennsylvania, we've impacted about 45,000 low-income individuals, about 11,000 families. Here in Pittsburgh, around 2,000 families, about 8,000 low-income individuals. So, and those numbers are more like 6 or 7% of the eligible population. So we're clearly making a difference, we're not satisfied with where we are, which is one of the reasons I'm appreciative for your giving us some time on the radio today to talk about this program, why we just had a pep rally at Pittsburgh Langley School where superintendent was present and Coach Tony Dungy was there, you know, to try and drive up attention within that school population, because we do find that when people learn about this program – and when they understand the importance of the internet to their kids in an educational setting, and when they further understand the importance of the internet to adults, whether it's access to health care or access to vocational opportunities or access to news, information, and entertainment, that we can break down some of the resistance and at this price have an affordable product for any family in Pittsburgh, regardless of the income level of their parents.
We're talking about narrowing the digital divide and also the achievement gap among Pittsburgh Public School students. And we're talking with, among others, Pittsburgh Public School Superintendent Dr. Linda Lane and also David Cohen, Executive Vice President for Comcast. And we have a caller on the line, Dave in Oakland, who would like to join the conversation. Dave, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Madam Superintendent. I realize we're talking about opening up internet access. That's wonderful, but how about we open up solid access into career track programs in our schools, whether it be vocational and things such as auto mechanics and other trades, and college track programs in engineering, computer science, health, and more. Don't you think if we gave the kids a reason to go to school in the morning, you know, give them something to interest them, we could cut the huge absence program? I mean, problem in the terrible graduation rates in the schools like Perry, Westinghouse, Cary, UPrep, and more. I know there's success stories in the schools, but if for every one of them, there's several failures and kids that don't graduate and fall into crime or, you know, or come out with no real world preparation.
Well, it's a little off topic, but it is a concern, a legitimate concern, and I'll let Dr. Lane handle that.
I hear what you're saying around career and technical education, and interestingly enough, we've had some conversations just over the course of the last week in the progress first we're making with career and tech. And even our board is extremely supportive of career technical education. And I even got a little kudo from them that they see things improving. But I totally agree with you about the value of it. However, I would have to say I don't want to make it sound like English and math and other things aren't interesting enough to go to school for. I hope that we can make it all interesting for kids so that they're engaged and want to be at school. But I know that, as I said, I would be the first to say that we do plan to continue to work on our career and technical education programs because, as you know, our vision for kids is for them to complete high school and also complete a 2 or 4 year college program or a career technical program, getting a workforce certification. So I totally agree with the caller that this is something that we certainly can put more effort into, and I think that our community can help too by making sure kids understand that there is no hierarchy between career and tech and college. That used to be the way the world was. It's no longer that way. So we have to promote our children that are going into these technical fields just the way we promote the kids that are headed off to college or university.
And Dr. Lane, one of the things that I'm guessing some of our listeners, particularly older listeners, might be thinking is that having access, leveling the playing field, and making sure that low-income students, minority students, as well as students with greater means, that lowering the achievement gap and also creating a level playing field with regard to the digital divide is important. But I'm sure there are people out there thinking, well, gee, you know, the libraries are still open. People can still go and access information by reading books or getting information that way. Do you hear any of that kind of feedback? And when you do, what is your reaction to it?
Well, actually, I don't get much of that, and as I think most people in the city know, I'm a big promoter of public libraries. I think that they're an invaluable resource to our community, and I certainly appreciate the role they play in closing the digital divide, not just for our children in school, but also for people in the community that don't have access that may not have children in school. So I think there's a tremendous role they play there. However, I think we also know that there are times libraries, you know, can't be open 24/7. That'd be nice if they could, but they're not. And the fact of the matter is that often, having been a high school student myself, I can honestly say some of the times I actually was working on those papers or doing that research, it was off hours. And it has to be done on Monday and it's Sunday night. And
you really did? Are you admitting you did that, Dr. Lane?
Yeah, I tried to avoid that, but I have to admit it did occasionally happen. I mean, I got them in on time, but let's say it wasn't always. There was some night work required to get some of those things in on time. So, and I know our kids are, many of them maybe were more organized than I was, but I think some of them are probably things get done in the last minute.
I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah.
I also have to say, the model of education today is very different than what it was even 5 years ago, let alone 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. There are new digital learning tools that substantially enhance the educational experience. That quite frankly allow teachers to provide more individualized instruction to more students, even with larger classes. And I had a chance at Langley today to tour some of the computer labs, see some of those digital learning tools that are in place in Langley. And you can have a teacher with a half dozen kids at computer terminals, another half dozen kids working together at one table, another half dozen kids who she's working with right at that table, all learning at their speed. The kids on the computers, she can go in after the class and look and see what areas of skill they needed improvement in and what areas of skill they were able to master. That digital learning, which has so much enriched education and which is – that digital curriculum is in every wealthy suburban school district in America today, and it is finally beginning to make real inroads in urban school districts like Pittsburgh Public Schools, is part of an integrated approach, though, because that's just in the classroom. To get the full power of those learning tools, the kids need to be able to work with those digital learning tools after school, and they can work after school in a library or in a rec center or computer lab. But they also need to be able to work at home. You hear a lot talking.
And they enjoy that, the digital connectivity
and
more.
And you hear about the caller talked about how do we engage kids. This is one of the ways to engage young people in education. You hear a lot of talk about the importance of having engaged parents in the quality of education. Well, one of the best ways to engage parents is to have the kids using these digital learning tools at home where the teachers can communicate with the parents. Please have them work on modules 7, 11, and 13 These are the areas where your son or your daughter needs additional work. We had an Internet Essentials parent, Lisa Craig, come and speak at Langley today. And she said one of the things she liked best about having Internet service at home was that she was able to communicate with the teachers, and the teachers were able to communicate with her about how her daughter was doing and the areas where her daughter needed more work. Now, this woman is an engaged parent. But before you had the Internet access at home, you couldn't have this level of engagement in her kid's education. So the notion of having Internet access at home is not a convenience. So it's just not enough to have it in libraries. I think it's great that they're there. Want there to be full digital connectivity in schools under the President's Connect Ed initiative. I want there to be libraries and community centers where kids can access the computers in after-school latchkey programs. But I also want the kids to have access to the Internet at home, like my kids did, for a convenience aspect and for the ability of the parents to be able to participate in the education of their children and engage with teachers and their kids as part of the educational process.
So you're saying that this is not a luxury. This is a necessity.
This is absolutely not. I love being on this radio show because we've both chosen the same word. You've chosen a word because it's essential for Pittsburghers to listen to this show, to know what's going on in Pittsburgh. We've chosen the word essentials because it's essential for people to have access to the Internet.
And Dr. Lane, as far as tracking the success of this program, have you been able to put together any kind of figures or seen any figures that indicate to what extent the Internet Essentials program and narrowing the digital divide is doing to help narrow the achievement gap?
Well, it's still early to have a lot of data in that space. I know that most programs like this, it's about 3 years before you're going to see, you know, something that's really truly measurable. So right now, it's more qualitative data, just parents talking, like Lisa Craig, who we just mentioned earlier, about how valuable it has been to her. And her daughter also spoke. Leah told us about how she used it to get her work done and how much she appreciated being able to do her research at home. As we talk about that, the other aspect of being able to do it at home, not all our families have easy access to libraries, too. And even though we have libraries in most of our neighborhoods, they're not always walking distance from children's houses. And often there may be concerns parents have about having children walk to libraries by themselves. And so that becomes an issue as well. So thinking about that, and we have, and I'm sure that I know there are other parents out there that could have been there today, too, to talk about what this has meant to them. So you start with these individual stories of success. And parents like Lisa Craig, as she talks to other parents, that's the most powerful process we can have in terms of getting more parents engaged. As she begins to talk to her friends and all of that kind of thing, that'll help spread the word. And as I said, I'm hopeful that, you know, as we get a little further along, we will have some more, as I said, some more quantitative data on this.
I can give you a little quantitative data, which is not necessarily tied specifically to the achievement gap. The superintendent is right. Yeah, I need some time to have some longitudinal data here. But we survey. We now have enough families signed up that we do our own research and our own surveying. And in those surveys, the number one reason – the number one use of the Internet in the home that has been identified, 98% of the Internet Essentials families surveyed say they use it for their kids to do homework, and 94% of those parents say their kids are doing better in school
94.
As a result of having Internet access at home. So there's some pretty compelling data. I mean, it's one step beyond anecdotal data, but I would be stunned if that type of data didn't show up in longitudinal research that was being done.
David Cohen.
Well, one thing we know for sure, not having it certainly isn't going to help them.
Right. I mean, I'll give you a story. It's not a Pittsburgh story. It really goes back to superintendent's opening comments. But I met an Internet Essentials mother in another city who explained how her children, she had two kids, was now using the Internet at home. that her biggest problem now is to be a traffic cop on their one netbook that they bought under the program because both kids were fighting over when to use it. And she had to wait until her kids went to sleep for her to be able to use it. So that became the biggest problem in their household. So I asked her, well, you know, what did your kids do? How did they do their homework that required the internet before you had an Internet Essentials service?
What did she say?
And she looked at me and she was crying. And she said, Mr. Cohen, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this. I said, please, you don't have to be embarrassed. She said, after dinner, three or four nights a week, I used to drive my kids to the McDonald's. And there's free Wi-Fi in the McDonald's that reaches into the parking lot. And I would hand my smartphone into the back seat. And my kids would go on the internet using the McDonald's Wi-Fi and my smartphone to do whatever homework they could. And she looked at me and she said, and if you've ever seen a child try to write a term paper on a smartphone, you would know why I'm crying. And I looked at her. I looked at her, and I sort of said to myself, "This is what this program is about. Here's a mother who's totally engaged in education. Here are kids who care, and they're going to a McDonald's parking lot to do homework on a smartphone. My kids would never do that. I mean, they would never tolerate doing that. And there's just something wrong in the country if we can't figure out a way to make sure that every kid in this country has the ability to do homework at home the way my kids have the ability to do homework at home. And it shouldn't matter how much money your parents make. It shouldn't matter what zip code you live in. There should be a program to take care of all of these kids.
David Cohen is Executive Vice President for Comcast, and Linda Lane, who is the superintendent for the Pittsburgh Public Schools, have been our guest talking about the Internet, the Essentials program, Internet Essentials, that Comcast is now into year three of, relaunching Internet Essentials today in Pittsburgh. Thank you so much for being a part of this discussion. And
am I allowed to give a phone number and a website?
Sure.
Can I do that?
And we'll provide a link to it on our website, WESA.FM.
So for listeners who are interested in this program, we have a toll-free number, which is 1-855-8-INTERNET, 855-8-INTERNET. And if you want to go to our website, if you have access to a website at work or you are in a library, you can go to www.internetessentials.com. And this year we have an enhancement to the program. You can actually sign up for this service on the internet at www.internetessentials.com.
Again, David Cohen, Dr. Linda Lane, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having us.
Coming up, what could a proposed plan to reconfigure downtown bus routes mean for the city? That's next when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.